30 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Hashtag Stop Galamsey now still on. Hello, good afternoon. This is the Midday News. The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM in Accra, Love 99.5 in Kumasi, and myjoyonline.com. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana, X Spaces and Facebook. The Midday News is supported by Petrosol Platinum Energy, energizing dreams. This afternoon, Speaker of Parliament adjourns the House indefinitely again after the NPP caucus refused to show up in the chamber.
As a result of the refusal of those who requested for the recall to show up, we are compelled to once again adjourn the sitting of the House.
We're live in Parliament as the Trade Minister describes the Speaker's conduct as unconstitutional.
I am deeply worried and deeply concerned that the very people that requested for Parliament to be recalled failed to show up. Clearly, what we are seeing here, it's an abuse of the Constitution and the standing orders of Ghana's Parliament.
We'll also hear from the NDC leader describing the development as unacceptable and an abuse of parliamentary procedure. Also, the Electoral Commission defends the newly compiled voter register's credibility despite NDC's rejection.
It is finished.
It's a request you are making. It is not binding in law. I mean, we are not obliged to give it to you.
We have details of their statement. However, the NDC doubts the credibility of the register, insisting the summaries requested have still not been delivered.
Because you have put the register together, so you know the totals. Why should it take you several hours to put up the totals, a register that you have generated yourself? And you are calling that register a robust, credible register.
Also, 348 million cedis recovered from fraudulent names on the public payroll as the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission recommends prosecuting individuals siphoning public funds.
We pass all the names and all the details to management for management to take action. It is only when management fails to take action that we are emboldened to go the extra mile of reporting to some other authority.
Meanwhile, heads of public institutions are to be subjected to performance appraisal and a review of the public salary structure. We have details of that in sports.
Black Stars coach Otuado will, in the next hour, announce the squad list of players invited for the AFCON 2025 qualifiers versus Angola and Niger.
And WAEC fears WASI results will be delayed due to the 166 million cedis debt owed them by government.
If for some reason they are not assured of payment and they choose to keep the scripts, then it is possible that the results would delay.
Here from the Education Ministry saying it's made some payments to WAEC and will continue to engage them to avert a possible delay in the WASI result. These and more coming up with me, Mamisi Nyamiche Thompson. Stay for details. We start from Parliament. The Speaker has once again adjourned the House indefinitely after it failed to present the required number of members needed to form a quorum. The House was recalled under an urgent notice to consider 17 key government businesses. But when the House was called to order, only the NDC caucus was in the chamber, forcing the Speaker to adjourn sitting indefinitely. Listen to the Speaker, Alban Babing.
I had under the dictates of the provisions of the Constitution to issue the summons for you to be here today. And I duly complied with the constitutional provision and got the administration to get the summons published to the notice of all of you. Unfortunately, the signatories who made the request have not shown up, and therefore, matters that they wanted us to handle, which are admitted for the consideration of the business committee, are not on the order paper, and in fact, there's no order paper for today because the business committee could not meet due to the absence of the people who requested for the recall. And as you can see, one side of the house is completely empty. In view of this, we have, as usual, got a quorum to sit, but we have no business before us to transact, because the business committee, as we know, they prepare a report, and this report is adopted by the House as business agreed by the House to transact during the course of the week. In the absence of that, there is no other authority that can put business before you which you have not adopted to transact. In view of the failure of the business committee to sit as a result of the refusal of those who requested for the recall to show up, we are compelled to once again adjourn the sitting of the House.
And you heard the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Gbagbin, earlier on. Now, the NDC caucus held a news conference and described the conduct of the NPP caucus as unacceptable. Dr. Kasiola Tofosin speaks for the side.
This morning, at about 7 o'clock, we showed up at the business committee meeting on the sixth floor, only to notice that the NPP members of the committee once again failed to show up at the business committee. I personally called the committee clerk and I was informed that she is out of the jurisdiction and no one has reached out to him to her to program the business of the day. I was worried and reached out also to the MPP side and to have an indication as to what their plan is. No one responded. I am deeply worried and deeply concerned that the very people that requested for Parliament to be recalled failed to show up. Clearly, what we are seeing here is an abuse of the Constitution and the standing orders of Ghana's Parliament. The NPP minority caucus have indeed caused financial loss to the state and to us, the NDC members of Parliament, and to the people of Ghana. We say this because this recalls cost Ghana money. This is not the first time that they have done this. They've done this a couple of times, but we see nothing than disrespect. We call on the people of Ghana to see the behavior of the MPP and punish them accordingly. They have certainly.
Well, let's head to Parliament now and speak to our parliamentary correspondent, Kweku Asante. Kweku, is there an official reason behind the NPP's boycott of the chamber today?
The majority leader, Alexander Afenyomakin, is addressing journalists right now, so you can listen in.
Individuals, and that what he did amounted to an opinion that he expressed on the statement by Honorable Kisil Atufosun. At the said pre-sitting meeting, I, on behalf of my colleagues, the majority, inquired from Mr. Speaker whether our friends who were seated to his right would be allowed by him to sit there, because that was not their rightful place in view of his own admission that he had not proclaimed them as such nor declared them as such. Speaker responded that indeed sitting arrangement of Parliament was a responsibility of the clerk to Parliament. This took me to the next step of inquiring from the clerk whether he allowed the NDC minority to sit on our seats. He said, indeed, we had our name tax, that is the MPP majority, had their name tax at those seats that we already occupied, and that it was not he who did that. So obviously, One was expecting, Mr. Speaker, to direct the NDC to do the right thing. He refused. Subsequently, Mr. Speaker engaged the Council of State. Or perhaps, let me say, the Council of State held meetings with Mr. Speaker. As a majority leader and leader of government business and leader of the House, I had the opportunity to also meet with them. The understanding I had from the meeting, as a sequel to the meeting they had already held with Mr. Speaker, was to the effect that Mr. Speaker will direct the NDC minority to sit at their right place, which is the left of Mr. Speaker. That was the understanding I had. I subsequently had a call from the Peace Council. The Peace Council informed me that they had engaged Mr. Speaker on the issue before Parliament, and Mr. Speaker had indeed indicated to the Peace Council that he had not ruled, neither has he proclaimed the NDC minority, and that should we resume or should Parliament reconvene, the NDC minority will go back to their seats. Several other prominent Ghanaians, who for some good reasons I would not want to mention their names, who had engaged Speaker on this matter, had also reached out to us, the majority caucus, and assured us that Mr. Speaker's engagement with them resulted in he admitting that indeed there was no such ruling, which ruling would now proclaim the NDC as a so-called new majority. Now, from the horse's own mouth, granted that all these prominent people misrepresented to us, the majority, yesterday, Mr. Speaker himself, in his press conference in the afternoon, enumerated a number of things. Among them, he said he had not made a ruling. He told the whole of the country that he had not made a ruling. So if he claims that what he did was a formal communication in response to a statement from the minority leader, then why is he supervising chaos in the House? What Mr. Speaker did today amounts to supervising chaos and bringing the image of democracy to disrepute. The NDC minority members were all over claiming that we, the majority, did not attend a so-called business committee meeting that they called. Who are they? When did we constitute a new committee in Parliament? I chaired the business committee of Parliament. And when the clerk to Parliament asked for the business committee meeting, I was very explicit that the subject matter of the recall, which was approved by Mr. Speaker, is a very matter for consideration. So there's no need to have another business committee. Business committee is to decide on the business of the House. On this occasion, you have made an application, which application has been granted. And the items that were approved were the very things to be decided on. So I directed that the order paper should be printed to reflect all those items. Fortunately, Mr. Speaker himself read the two letters, the first one and the second one that amended the first, and indicated to the whole country that indeed our deputy majority whip, the second deputy majority whip, had actually sent those letters to him. He acknowledged him as such. Clearly, the NDC is on a warpath. They want confusion in this country. They want lawlessness in this country. And all these are being supervised by Mr. Speaker.
Yes.
It is sad. It is very sad. And I would want to entreat you, the media, to call them out, to call the NDC out, to call Mr. Speaker out. Because what is it? What at all is the issue? You have made a ruling which you now say is an opinion. We disagreed with you. We've gone to another forum where, by law, that forum has the power to interpret the law. We respected Mr. Speaker's ruling. In all of this, my first interview after his ruling was with the fact that I respect him, I disagree with him, therefore my colleagues and I were withdrawing today from the chamber and will pursue the matter at the Supreme Court, which matter he was already aware was pending at the Supreme Court. And I will repeat the point I made a week ago. Mr. Speaker had assured me in the presence of the second deputy speaker, Honorable Amoakwesiama, in his office, that in view of the pendency of the suit, although the NDC had filed that petition, which petition was mounted by Harun Idrisu, he would hear them, but would wait and abide the decision of the court. I was fair enough, I was transparent enough to have engaged him as a head of this assembly, that because Haruna had raised the issue and to avoid confusion, I was going to the Supreme Court to seek interpretation. I did not go to Supreme Court in bad faith. And it wasn't the case that a matter was happening in Parliament and I ran away to the Supreme Court. I ran away from Parliament to Supreme Court to seek refuge. No, I foresaw confusion. And indeed, what Harun Idrisu filed, why did they set it aside? Harun Idrisu had initiated a process under Order 99 of our rules, which will require a process to be set in motion. Why did they suddenly come under Order 93, which allowed for a statement? When in the history of this parliament, since 1992, did a statement metamorphose into a motion? Which motion now will require a ruling? You see,
I'm babbling for you.
Speaker is setting the country on fire.
Yes.
Yesterday, we were disappointed with his non-reconciliatory posture during this press conference. Indeed, we, the majority caucus, call on Mr. Speaker one more time to demonstrate statesmanship. We want Mr. Speaker to know that although we were not happy on the day he was elected, some of our colleagues perhaps has seen something good in him. It wasn't the NDC that put him there for him to do the bidding of the NDC. Perhaps people felt that he could be someone who will bring all of us together. There are things that we cannot say into the camera. But Mr. Speaker is hurting democracy.
Yes.
What Mr. Speaker is doing is to rehearse what the NDC is likely to do should they lose power, to bring chaos, to cause confusion. How can Mr. Speaker say that he respects the Constitution, but he will not subject himself to the dictate of the judiciary? How can you say that the judiciary is in collusion, is colliding with the president, and you mention the president as a person, as an individual? How? What Mr. Speaker is doing is in bad faith. First of all, he subjected himself to the jurisdiction of the Supreme Court. And after losing at the Supreme Court, he turns around to attack the Supreme Court. His own lawyer, my respected senior Thaddeus Sory, in court, argued forcefully that Mr. Speaker made a ruling, and he sought to justify the so-called ruling and even challenge the jurisdiction of the court in entertaining application. For him, the matter comes under Article 99 of the Constitution and not under Article 197. 97 G and H of the Constitution. To the NDC lawyer, to the Speaker's lawyer, who had received firm instructions from the Speaker, the position of the Speaker was home and dry, was on all fours right, and that Mr. Speaker had ruled, and that those members could not come to Parliament. Again, he had emphasized that the right forum was the High Court. All these points canvassed by Mrs. Speaker's lawyer were overruled. The matter was heard in the full glare of the public. There was a live broadcast of the Supreme Court proceedings of that day. The ruling of the Supreme Court has been procured by me as plaintiff. The Supreme Court bailiff has served the ruling, the second ruling, on Mr. Speaker. His lawyers were given up to 6th of November to file their written submissions, statements of case in defense, if any. So what are all these, perhaps I call it ex cathedra, a statement of Speaker?
And you heard there Afenyo Makin, he's the leader of the NPP caucus in the House, and you heard him making points about happenings in the House today, talking about the seating arrangement, condemning the NDC for taking the side of the majority. He was also hoping that the Speaker of Parliament will direct the NDC to leave the majority side, and also blaming the Speaker for supervising chaos. Well, we leave that there and go on to speak to Parliamentary Watcher Rashid Draman, who's joining us on the phone lines now. Mr. Draman, you've been hearing what's happening in Parliament. Nobody saw this coming. What strategies can be employed to address the situation?
I think if I could offer some advice, I was hoping that given that the MPP group signed a petition to recall Parliament, perhaps a strategy to get this matter to some clarity would have been for them to show up, sit on the left-hand side of the Speaker, and then draw the Speaker's attention to what the court has said, in order for then to hear whether the Speaker's position clearly on what the Supreme Court has said. Because yesterday, when we heard the Speaker during the press conference, I think many said that, you know, he did not answer some of the issues raised, particularly related to the Supreme Court order or instruction, or however you call it. Having said all this, I think now the sitting has been adjourned. What I have been saying over and over many times is that this matter cannot be resolved legally alone. I think we need some kind of political tools. We need to find a way to make sure that the two sides sit down and talk. And somebody has to take the initiative and get these two key actors, perhaps including the Speaker, that would help, you know, to have some conversation. And yesterday, the Right Honorable Speaker also talked about, you know, the new standing orders and this whole kind of idea of co-leadership and so on. If indeed we want the business of government to happen, I think we need to begin looking at, you know, what can we get that is not 100%? You know, if we can get majority or minority, what is it that we can get in order to get the business, critical business of government to happen, particularly for those who are in government?
All right. Thank you so much, Mr. Rashid Draman. We're grateful for your time on the Midday News. And you're still listening to the Midday News live on Joy 99.7 FM. You heard happenings in Parliament. We'll take a break when we return. The Electoral Commission defends the newly compiled voters' register's credibility despite NDC's rejection.
When budgets are tight and money difficult to come by, you want to be sure you get the best value for your money. These are not times to be spending money fixing expensive engine problems because of cheap fuel and lubricants. Drive to a petrol source station today and buy your quality fuel and lubricants, and rest assured of fuel that lasts long and lubricants that prevent expensive engine problems. Hear the sound. Petrosol, clean fuel in full quantity.
Oh, Efia, I've been thinking. Have you noticed the changes in our community?
Kojo, things are really different now. The MPP has really made a difference.
Exactly. Free SHS, healthcare, new factories. It's like a whole new Ghana.
And don't forget, electricity is so much reliable now. I remember when we used to go days without light.
True. The MPP has done a lot to improve the basics.
Ajua is a beneficiary of free SHS. And now, she is in university.
And that's the kind of leadership we need. Someone who is focused on making things better for everyone. But Efia, still there are a lot more to be done for the development of Ghana.
Absolutely, Kojo. The MPP has shown that real progress is possible.
On December 7th, let's vote to keep this positive impact going. Vote number one on the ballot. Vote MPP for a better and prosperous Ghana.
The luckiest
star 712 hash.
Luck is everywhere for everyone.
Wakoma and Nafufu are a dialing star 712 hash and found no regrets. A Sankoma investors are a striking gold. A Koma health workers are a diagnosing luck with precision. A Sankoma that tough guy who couldn't hold back his tears. Se say a Koma passionate farmer on also ain't even containing a joy. Affairing to the seamstresser or turning the hard end stitches into a bundle of happiness. And now, a Koma, if you say your next big win is right here.
Dial star 712 hash and join the luckiest winning celebration. From the 1st of July 2024, dial star 712 hash to keep buying tickets as a group, individual, or even as a community. Win loads of cash and prizes in the community draw or go for the grand draw on the 30th of November 2024. Unlock your luck with star 712 hash. Join the winning streak now.
The luckiest
star 712 hash.
Luck is everywhere for everyone. Yeah, the luckiest.
Welcome back to the Midday News. Now, the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission has recovered 348 million cedis from fraudulent entries on the public payroll and recommends prosecution of individuals involved in siphoning public funds. This is the outcome of a nationwide auditing of the public payroll to rid it of illegal names. Chief Executive Officer of the Commission, Benjamin Arthur, tells my colleague Elton Brobe, recommendations have been made to the Attorney General for the prosecution of scores or identified in the crime.
The whistleblowers, I rise up for them. Sincerely, the whistleblowers have been very helpful. Issues that could not come to the notice of Fair Wages, through the whistleblowers, were able to do so. What has come to happen now is that increasingly, people are beginning to know that, look, there's somebody sitting somewhere
and watching
you. You know, the savings are huge, but we believe.
How much are we talking about?
The last time that we did the estimate, I think that was in August. It was about 348 or so. I've forgotten the number, but it was 348. And the cascading,
348 million cedis.
Yes, the cascading
money
effect,
that obviously would have gone into the hands of people that were not working.
Yes.
Now, it's been days since the attack by one gun-wielding man on Joy News reporter Erastus Asaridonko and three other members of his crew. The team was investigating illegal mining. They were slapped and punched by armed men. Joining me on the line is Love FM editor Kofi Edudonfe on the latest on this matter. Kofi, what's the latest?
So, what I can report is that we are in court, that's the Bekwai Circuit Court, next Wednesday, on our road to seek justice. But I must say that since these three were arrested on October 21, the police let them free. I mean, they were discharged on the very day that they were arrested. As we speak now, no additional arrests have been made, but we are hoping that the due process will be followed when we go to court on Wednesday next week.
Thank you so much, Kofi Edudonfe. And that's how we bring the bulletin to an end. I am Amisi Nyamiche Thompson. Up next is Living Word.